In the name of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Giver of life. Amen. Please be seated. I was just a little bit afraid that I would never see another tree again. It's a little bit of an exaggeration, but there was a time in my life when I despaired of ever living in a home again that was surrounded by trees. I was fortunate to grow up in places surrounded by trees and generally filled out landscapes that caught the rustle of the wind in summertime and exploded with color in the fall. I'm used to that. Trees, they always make me feel just a little bit more human. But in my first call, I served the fast-growing area of the Research Triangle in Raleigh, North Carolina, where so many of the homes, unless you lived in one of the very old neighborhoods, most of for those of us who were new to the area, lived in newly built, newly constructed homes that were generally built on clear-cut lots. So there weren't a lot of trees except the odd sort of sapling that was ready to grow up. And it was so distinctive that you could see from the air when you're flying in out of Raleigh areas that actually have some trees and compared to those that don't. So when I'm flying in and out of Cleveland, I can see the cathedral. It's pretty distinctive. There aren't too many Gothic churches, you know. Same thing in Raleigh-Durham. I could see my church because it was there nestled among an oasis of trees and green, but then surrounded by clay soil that had been overturned and had tractors driving around it because of so many developments that were being built up. Now, it was a wonderful place to live, wonderful place to go to church, but oh, how I miss those trees that you find in places that have been growing up over more than one or two generations. So I was thrilled to be here, to live in a place in my home, in my neighborhood. We have a lot of trees. Not so thrilled in the fall after the leaves come down, but you know, you take the good with the bad. I was thrilled to have that once again, but also saddened by the stark division of canopy that happens where my town hits Cleveland proper. Did you know that you can tell on Google Maps where the city of Cleveland ends because there are almost no trees relative to what you get around many of those suburbs? That isn't because people in Cleveland don't like trees. That's a question of economics and justice and redlining. Historically redlined neighborhoods will almost always have far less of that kind of lush, wonderful tree canopy because it's something that you have to maintain and it has to be supported. It doesn't just happen, believe it or not. So trees are far more significant than simply nice things to nestle under or to sit or to create a nest within. With what shall we compare the kingdom of God? It is like the mustard seed, the smallest of all seeds that grows up to become, I love this phrase, the greatest of all shrubs. The greatest of all shrubs. I, if I ever got called that, I would take it as a compliment. With large branches for nesting that cast a wonderful shade, Jesus was connecting the humble beginnings of faith Remember in Sunday school, those little net, the size of the mustard seed, because it was always scotch tape. Eric, I'm looking at you, right? It's always scotch tape to the piece of paper, the construction paper. I remember doing that as a kid and repeating it in my first call to get a, remember just how little tiny that is, but it really does grow from that to become this magnificent small tree, this magnificent shrub. Jesus was connecting those humble beginnings of faith to the magnificent results that come from it. But when I think about shade, it is not, the image that comes to me is not lounging underneath a wonderful tree with a lemonade in my hand. I wish it was. It's actually an image of when I just did not have, I desperately needed shade, but I had none. My oldest child was 10 months old. It was July. It was 100 degrees. It was in the middle of the afternoon. It was in an empty, overgrown grocery store parking lot in Black Mountain, North Carolina. It was exceedingly hot. We could feel the heat bearing down, and there I was trying to cram a writhing, screaming 10-month-old child into a car against their wishes. And as you know, you cannot leave that situation until your child is safely buckled into the car seat, but that is the last thing that this child was going to let me do. So there we were, hot as blazes, this child screaming at me. I didn't scream, but I was not happy either. Basically fighting with one another because it was so hot and unpleasant. Happy Father's Day, by the way, everybody. it's all luxury, isn't it? But I could not, there was absolutely nothing that I could do to fix this situation other than to just sort of power through and get Alex into the car seat so that we could then get out of that hot, oppressive parking lot. At that painful moment, I was so aware of the lack of shade. I needed shade and there was none. Shade comes from seed and water, but also time and patience. Never mind for just a moment what it takes to plant a seed and water it and watch it grow. Consider instead what it means to live in an environment where there are no trees, where no shade has been prepared, where no one has thought ahead. No shade for the birds or even the hapless parents just trying to get their children to a more reasonable place. Consider the whole trajectory of a tiny seed that gets planted. And what then the landscape can look like when a whole bunch of seeds are scattered and planted and nurtured to fruition. But then think about what that landscape looks like when we collectively fail to plant the seeds, when we fail to understand why it matters that we put seed in the ground and water it, when we fail to believe that that little seed is going to amount to something, when we fail to water and nurture and prune, when we fail even to hang around long enough to see something happen. What does that landscape look like? It looks like a hot, barren parking lot. It looks like a desert. But this is not a parable about deserts. This is a parable about faith. This is a parable about what grows from the humblest of beginnings and casts magnificent shade. Now, faith can be tricky to define, I realize, especially when we confuse it, we couple it with that word belief. Belief is an important word, but it is a component of faith, not the whole thing. Faith is what happens when I let grace become integrated into my life. It's not about what I objectively hold on to. It's how I open myself. It's as much about surrender and coming alongside what God is doing in this world, not because I understand it, but simply because I am open to it. Sometimes that happens through my intentional choices to share in God's presence, to bring God's dream for this world into being. But more often than not, I think faith comes along quite unintentionally, unconsciously even, when the Spirit nudges me or gently pushes me or really just heave-hoes me into a situation that I didn't see myself coming to and yet is somehow beautiful and generative. Faith seems to me to be a curious mix of intention and belief and trust and willingness and doubt and curiosity and openness and delight, and no doubt many other things that you're thinking of that I hope you'll share with me. Jesus did not want you to plant better shrubs. Jesus wants you to have more faith. But fortunately, faith is not something that you need a whole lot of in order to get started. That is the whole point of this passage. You need only enough to take a seed. Remember that little tiny scotch tape seed, that mustard seed, put it in the ground, water it, and then see what happens. It's not about the size of that seed. It's about how little you actually need in order to start that journey. And yet, despite that, despite the fact that we all know the parable of the mustard seed, I'm sure of that, we have the hardest time with those baby steps, don't we? Now, I don't want to suggest that faith is logical or rational, but I would suggest that it tends to be our irrational minds that tell us how silly faith is. It tends to be our irrational minds that lead us to question this journey with God. Because even though we know perfectly well that a seed planted in fertile ground will grow in time, we know that that's going to happen, we tend to let our irrational, impatient selves tell us that if something is not happening, I have planted the mustard seed and it is not growing just like that. We tend to start thinking that nothing is happening. That is our reptilian brain in action. It is very good at keeping us safe when a lion is running at us, but is not so good at sustained agriculture. Think about this. Imagine if we plant a seed, check our watch, nothing is happening, get up and go to brunch. Clearly nothing is going to happen. Well, that's ridiculous. But so many of us in this world live in our spiritual lives, in our faith lives. It's living life at the surface, spiritually empty. And the result is the world that we see today. The result is a barren environment that defines far too many places in this world of ours. The arid desert is a metaphor that can describe a politics that seems helpless to address a growing poverty, or a culture that cannot seem to find the words to address the things that truly matter. And perhaps the only thing worse than a barren landscape is a blighted one. A blighted place in which the trees have been recklessly, thoughtlessly pulled down. A blighted place is a place without faith. We see in a blighted and a barren setting, whatever that may be, the results of a great many choices that were made without regard to faith, that were made in a very individualistic way, without regard to curiosity or openness or humility or intentionality or trust or belief or even delight. This place is what gets built when we rely on ourselves and not on God, when we serve ourselves and not our neighbor, when we think about the returns that are going to come over the next 2 years, over the next election cycle, over the next whatever short-term season we have, rather than the cycle that it takes to plant an oak or a maple tree and see it grow and begin to shape and give character and shade to the places where we live. It's when we forget to see the image of God in every person that we meet. To act without faith is to act without imagination or delight. It is to live without hope and without a healthy sense of what God can do if we can just quit trying to do it all ourselves. Any close look at this created world, any time spent listening to the wind making its way through the trees, or marveling at the magnificent branches of the shrub that grow from the tiny seed, shows us that God's imagination is infinitely creative. And faith is about coming alongside that creativity. It's about becoming a vessel for that creativity. It's about sharing in the joy of that creativity and feeling the joy of seeing others living life within a shaded tree that they had never seen before. And what that takes is just a little bit of faith. Not a lot of faith. Not the size of a mighty oak, but side note, if you know any mighty oaks, hang out with them. Take notes. We need more oaks. We need more of them. But all we need is just enough. All we need is just enough curiosity. All we need is just enough trust, just enough imagination, just enough wisdom, just enough delight, just enough hope. To believe that the seed planted in the ground, the idea nestled, kindled in our mind, the spark of belief kindled in our hearts, well, to know that that will be watered and nurtured by the Holy Spirit and will grow to become something beautiful. That is how every great shade tree begins, as a tiny seed. But God's realm is made up not just of one shrub, not just of one oak. It is made up of whole, dense, lush forests that are filled with trees and shrubs of all ages and all levels of maturity and growth, from the tiniest sapling to, yes, those wonderful maples and oaks that give a canopy and a sense of place and permanence. That, too, must start with humble beginnings, with the same hope and trust with which that tiny little mustard seed was nurtured. And so, my friends, Jesus is calling us to start planting.